Collaboration is the name of the game. To be successful in today's business world, we need to collaborate in everything we do, with our peers, with our stakeholders, in our teams, within the hierarchy, and with outside organizations in strategic alliances. In the collaborative business world, no one can go it alone. This is the Collaborative Business Podcast, and my name is Peter Simons. In last week's episode of the Collaborative Business Podcast, we looked at the alliance value proposition, an important element when working together in strategic alliances. This week, let's have a look at another important, no, essential element, finding the right partner. Often proper partner selection is an overlooked element. People start partnerships purely based on the fact that they like each other or on the fact that the partner has the missing element for the value proposition you have in mind. However, people and companies are different and they can act different. Maybe they will act different. As such, it is a good practice to do a solid partner assessment. Not necessarily to decline the partner, but at least to know where your partner deviates from your company and what as such the points of attention are that you need to manage on during the management phase of the alliance. In general, we do a partner fit analysis on three areas: strategic fit, operational fit, and relationship fit. In my book, The 4-Step Guide to Successful Partner Selection, I've drilled these down into 17 elements that you should look into. And here is an overview of those 17 selection criteria. The first one is vision. You need to look how important it is for the partnership you're creating that the vision of your partner aligns with your vision. In general, it is essential to have the vision of you and your prospective partner in line with each other. They do not have to be the same, but they need to be complementary. Let's say you're teaming up in the automobile engine industry. Your partner's vision is that the future is in hydrogen-based fuel cells, while your vision is that the future is in electric engines. This might be a showstopper, and it's exactly one of the reasons that made the partnership between Toyota and Tesla stall. The second element is long-term. What are the long-term goals of your partner and are they aligned with yours? Similar to vision, the long-term goals need to be evaluated to see if they are in line. If you are entering the partnership with the goal to create a long-lasting partnership, but your potential partner is planning to create a project-driven partnership that lasts only a couple of quarters, then think again. Number three is financial. Here we look at the financial health of your partner and whether it can be expected that it will be around for the duration of the partnership. You would like to be sure that your partner will be around for that duration. For the stability of the partnership, it's important to assess the partner's financial health and stability. If a partner has a rocky cash flow pattern, it might hurt the ability to create a stable partnership whenever the partner is unable to invest or act when needed. The fourth element is market. How does your market coverage of your partner align with yours? To what extent are they complementary? When establishing a market development alliance, the capabilities of your partner need to be complementary to yours. For instance, when you own the product knowledge and the partner the knowledge on how to access a new geographical market, the market coverage is complementary. This element might be irrelevant when you're establishing an R&D alliance where joint development is undertaken, yet without a desire yet to bring it to specific markets. But in all the other cases, do look at market. Number five is brand. So how is your partner's brand perceived in the market? Will it strengthen yours? In number six, we will look at importance. So how important is the partnership for your partner? And will they and their future depend on it? When establishing a partnership where the future of your company is depending on the partnership, while for the partner it's just one of the many partnerships they have, you might be out of balance. So look at it. How important is the partnership for you? How important is it for your partner? And what do you expect from each other? Number seven is management. So what is the management style of the partner? A command and control style will bring different challenges to partner when A command and control style, will bring different challenges to partner with than a collaborative style or a consensus-driven management style. These differences will have their impact on the speed of decision-making when the partnership is in progress. So, assess for yourself how important is complementarity in management style for the partnership that you are looking to establish. Number 8, we will look into the type of company. So what type of company is your partner? A family-owned company? A corporation with a listing on the stock exchange? A solo entrepreneur? A family-owned business will have different dynamics than a publicly listed corporate. And again, a government organization will be different again. If you are a startup planning to team up with a corporate, you will make managing the partnership much easier for yourself when you are aware of the differences in organization and with that in the way decisions are being made. Then we will look at system and processes in number 9. So to what extent are the systems and processes used in your partner compatible with yours? For many companies, the systems and processes are the ones that define how a company operates. There is no need to have the same system or process in your company as in your partner's company, as long as they're compatible and the differences are being managed. In number 10, we will look at culture. It's a hot issue that often is mentioned as a failure for partnerships. So look at it, what is the culture of your partner? And how does it differ from yours? Think about both company cultures and regional company cultures. Doing business with a partner from a different country or region will bring different dynamics in operation and management. Some cultures will be quite direct and tell you what they think. And it seems that we Dutch people are perceived that way. And in some cultures, it will not be done to say no. It is important to be aware of the potential cultural differences in order to be able to manage them and understand your partner. However, be aware, you cannot automatically connect a company culture to a country culture. Especially when you're dealing with corporates, you will see that they exist of many people from many companies. And so there is a blend inside the corporate that creates their own culture. So you need to assess it. Number 11 is experience. And then I'm talking about partnering experience. So does your partner have experience in creating partnerships? The amount of experience you and your partner have in creating partnerships can make the whole partnering process easier and faster. This applies both to the creation phase as the management phase of a partnership. So how important is it for you to have a partner with experience in partnering? And are you willing and able to educate the partner in these skills while going forward, if needed? Number 12, we will look at network. So how does the partner's network look? And is it competitive, attractive, or complementary to yours? The network of your partner can have a huge potential to boost your partnership when it's complementary. However, when your prospective partner is already teaming up with a competitor of your company, it might slow down the partnership tremendously, and it might hurt the level of trust you will have in your partner. Speaking of trust, number 13, we will look at trust. Do you trust your partner? Do you expect to be able to build trust with your partner? It is essential for successful partnerships to be able to build trust with your partner. How trustworthy are they? Will you be able to trust them and build the trust? A firm no to this answer, to this question, might be a clear showstopper to team up with this partner. Number 14 is portfolio. Does the partner have a complementary product portfolio? Or is your partnership just one of a kind for them without the opportunity to extend it? In number 15, we will look at speed. So how do you and your partner align in speed of operation and decision making? The classical examples in differences in speed between organizations are the examples of small, startup kind companies that team up with corporate organizations. The small company will make decisions in the hallways, where the corporate organizations might need at least 3 meetings and still feel they're moving fast. Depending on the type of partnership, you are establishing the speed of operation and decision-making is an essential element to assess before creating a partnership. It might not be a showstopper, but you need to be aware and manage it accordingly. Number 16 is about quality. So has the partner a drive on quality similar to yours? Do you strive for perfection, or is good just good enough? Steve Jobs felt it to be very important that also the inside of an Apple computer was looking great and had high quality expectations also there. Other companies might feel it irrelevant how something looks on the inside. A quality drive that can strengthen each other or lead to disappointments. So assess it. And last but not least is number 17. And we're talking about intellectual property. Many large organizations have separate departments to safeguard their intellectual property, and where possible they will license out this IP to other companies. For these organizations, the filing of patents is essential, and they will bring discussion into the partnership negotiations. For smaller companies, IP can equally be important, but when not specifically addressed, it might be overlooked. So think about it. How important is that intellectual property for you? And how would you like to see the importance of IP for your partner? Are they known for their battles in court over IP rights? Are they playing it nice? And is it important in your particular partnership? Think about it and assess it. A good partnership fit assessment will analyze the fit of a potential partner in these 17 areas, and in some cases perhaps in more areas. However, not every element is equally important. For some, one element is more important than others. And in this podcast, I mentioned before my book, The 4-Step Guide to Successful Partner Selection. This book comes with a downloadable tool that will allow you to assess the partners and weigh the elements for your specific situation. I will include a link to it in the show notes of this episode at petersimons.com. Partner selection is an essential element in creating alliances. I would say don't join the mass of people that overlook it and assess your potential partner based on these 17 elements we just discussed. Then you will know where the fit is and where attention is needed during your management phase. That's it for this episode. As mentioned, the show notes can be found at petersimons.com. And while you're there, please click the link to leave a review on iTunes. It will help fellow business and alliance people to find the podcast. Bye for now. Until next time.